You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment. Welcome to Cannon Fodder, a behind-the-scenes look at the Glass Cannon Network.
Everybody, welcome back to the FOD. It is Wednesday, February 7th, 2024, and I'm your old buddy Joe O'Brien.
And I'm Troy. I'm reading about the new Chaosium Arkham book, LaValley.
Oh, we're doing a show. Can you please stop browsing around your exciting gaming news?
It just came out. It's really, really exciting. If you like Call of Cthulhu, as I do, this is really exciting. And if you go to chaosium.com and use code TFC, you get 10% off that, John.
Do not jam your shameless ads into my show. Keep that garbage on time for chaos. What is this Arkham thing?
It's a new source book. They used to have an old source book, H.P. Lovecraft's Arkham, and I think this is like a fully updated version. I'm reading about it as I'm getting really excited about it, but it's just such a beautiful cover. Arkham is such a big part of like the world of Lovecraft country. Let's have a brand new source book, the Miskatonic University.
Miskatonic?
Yeah. And it's in Massachusetts, which is great. I want to run more Massachusetts-based Call of Cthulhu adventures just so I can do the accent.
You are also a known sucker for a good cover.
Oh.
If it has a good cover, sign you up for $200.
I eat with my eyes.
Welcome back, everybody. We have got a fantastic FOD lined up today. This is going to be a great FOD.
I'll believe it when I see it.
A spectacular FOD. I'm going to need your help. Need some heavy lifting. This is going to be packed with exciting news, packed with listener mail. And it's just, you know, we have another role play episode, so we don't really have We Are Stupid. And it's going to be really fun to talk to the Nation about what's going on with them and kind of talk it all out. And I'm going to start off the top here, even before the news, I'm going to start off by reading the comments below, which can get very dangerous.
What? Below what?
Below any of the content that we do.
Oh, wow.
Particularly on YouTube, because it's a little less awful. No, it's wonderful. YouTube is fantastic. And last week, if you recall, mm-hmm, on the FOD, mm-hmm, I threw it out to you guys to write back your thoughts on diversifying damage versus high damage,
yes,
you know, of one type. And people responded. So I just wanted to thank you to those of you that responded, people that but it was kind of split. They're like the people that liked the versatility, like at Russell Charlton and at Lara Sir, were like, love damage diversification. And then there were people like Upside LY who said, at level 16 currently, part of what makes recall knowledge in combat a bit underwhelming is that a lot of creatures simply don't have anything you can exploit. Hmm. Have you seen a lot of this? Have you seen like, are fewer than you think of the monsters that you look at have weaknesses?
No, but we're in still low level play. So they still
do have some weaknesses. You know,
16th level monsters that just like, no, we don't deal with that. But like right now, I feel like almost every enemy you face at low levels has some sort of resistance and or weakness.
All right. That's good to know.
Yeah.
And then Thornbait adds on, a lot of APs just don't have the diversity of monster damage weakness built in. And it's been their experience that as a GM, they have to create elements within the monsters to make character abilities shine.
Oh, interesting.
Like these character abilities that exploit weaknesses, they're finding that they're just not seeing it being used at all. And so they have to put it into the adventure. So
that's what you get for caring about the characters and the players at the table. It's just extra work.
This sounds like a Thorinbane problem to me. No, that's awesome. And also Upside had another note. Studio FOD every single day, and then quote, can't wait for tomorrow's.
And we're here, we're back.
We are back in the studio. For the audio audience, we are back in the studio. 3 weeks in a row, we are really spoiling them.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah, we're setting them up for a real disappointing road FOD in the future.
How about next week, we just do the FOD from our telephones to each other. We'll record that. and put it up.
A TikTok FOD, just holding up our phones. But this is great. You know, like we kind of decided without really talking about it too much, like if we can pull this off, make the drive in the city, get some other work done and make a day out of it, it really enhances the FOD. And I've noticed the view count is up.
Well, they you know, they can see in the thumbnail we're in the studio. And yeah. I think that that's just like, hey, well, I'll watch those. I'll
what
watch
are they
those
doing
guys
in there?
The studio. Especially because, I don't know. We might have some changes coming up. At ZZ Gondorf says, Mike for Francis, please.
Francis, Mike? Should we get a hot mic back there for you, buddy?
What?
As usual, Francis's response is, what?
He's looking at porn.
You're this supposed to porn. Be on video production here, Francis.
I'm picking my naked fight scene, my top.
He's picking his top naked and fights. Top nude fight scenes. No, but a big, serious thank you to Francis and to CJ for producing this, because when we do FOD at home, I'm just producing it. You know, I'm knocking it out, but when we come in studio, we need the help, and big thank you to CJ and Francis for producing
help from my friends.
The in-studio FOD. All right, let's get to the news, and then, honestly, man, news, and then listener mail. That's my list for today. There is some big news. Some huge news. If you looked at our content schedule that went out, did this go out with the actual, with the question marks and all that
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, I know I
that
was put in a real draft. Teaser, a little Valley teaser, top secret video, I said.
A top secret video was releasing today, and we have that information for you now. So for those of you that have been eagerly awaiting something we talked about on the FOD a long time ago, which was that we came here in studio and we taped a Marvel Multiverse RPG special where we sat down, we played for hours.
Yep.
And taped the whole thing, and it is now released today. It is releasing today. Sorry. If you haven't listened to this, it is releasing today. About noon, maybe. You're going to want to check Marvel's YouTube channel, not ours.
Maybe you've heard of them, Marvel.
Perhaps you've heard of Marvel. Their YouTube channel today, at some point in the afternoon, Eastern Time, around 12 p.m. or later, you should see the video is up and able to be watched. So I hope you guys enjoy it.
They have 20.3 million subscribers, so hopefully a couple people will watch
it. Hopefully you've heard of it. It would be nice if a couple people watched it. That would be awesome.
Leave some comments.
Yes.
Mention the Glass Cannon Network and how great we are and how much we love them and how much we've changed your life.
Yeah, watch it for like 3 minutes and then write an extended comment about how you loved the entire 2.5 hour or whatever it is.
It's almost 3 hours. We recorded this in December before Christmas. It's completely original idea that I had, and I ran by them and we just did it. And it was fucking great.
It was so fun.
So wonderful.
And I really think that it was something special. So I hope you guys enjoy it. It's so funny. We recorded the whole thing. We were like, wow, that was really long and was like a lot longer than we expected. And we've been going back and forth with Marvel, and they've been like, oh, we want to request some edits of this and some edits of that. And the funniest thing is, like, I look at the original file and I look at the edit after a ton of edits and a lot of back and forth, and it's like 8 minutes shorter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, not a lot is cut at all.
No.
So it's you get to see the whole experience. So can't wait for you guys to check that out. Now, I know there's some of you listening to this fodder right now, and that's why I'm not even going to look at the camera.
Yeah, don't. You're ashamed.
I know you're just listening. Who, you're not going to go to YouTube. You're not going to go to Marvel's site. You're not going to watch it because you don't have time.
You don't have a TV.
You don't have a television, computer, or a phone.
Right.
So you couldn't possibly watch on YouTube.
How are you listening to this?
You want to listen to it while you are doing the dishes. I get it. And so that's why I'm happy to tell you right out of the front, right out of the gate here, that we will be releasing an audio-only version to our subscribers. So there you go. So if you're a subscriber on the GCN subscription service, not Patreon. I don't think we're releasing on Patreon.
No,
right? You have to be moved over to the new subscription service. If you haven't done that, by the way, get on it. Move over to the new subscription service. You'll be able to listen to it there as, I guess, its own podcast. It's probably what it's going to
be. Yeah, I'll probably throw it under Friends of the Pod.
Oh, it might be a Friends of the Pod.
Yeah, okay. It kind of is. It's its own thing. We'll get it up there right away. And, you know, if you want to enjoy just the audio version, it'll be there. However, If you want to take a dip into the video version, we do a lot of fun things with this. We there's a lot more than like what we do with Gatewalkers. There's a lot of fun visuals, and you know, I don't want to spoil it for you, but
yeah,
it's definitely worth it.
There's a lot of really fun stuff in it, so I would recommend checking out the YouTube if you can. But if not, audio will be out in a week. So around the next fodder episode, that's when the audio will hit the subscription service. So there you go.
Word.
FYI. All right. Also, fun stuff this week, man. Tomorrow, Thursday, do you know about this? That I'm playing Tales of Kanzera with Abu Salim?
I sent you an email being like, hey, can you reach out to Abu and see if he'll
play? You know about this?
So yeah, I've heard about this. Yeah.
Yes. Our good buddy McD had this idea, came to me and was like, you should – Tales of Kanzera Zao, which is the game that Abu Salim is instrumental in the creation of, is and a voice in, that game released as a demo. And he's like, you should play that on stream and have Abu on. And I was like, all right, well, I'll reach out to him.
When he said it to me, I'm like, Abu's got to be busy. And like, yeah. He's got a lot going on.
I reached out to Abu and he was just like, hell yeah. So it was an awesome reaction and I'm very excited. And we're doing that tomorrow. Yeah. So tune in to twitch.tv/theglasscannon tomorrow, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 o'clock on the West Coast in the morning, bright and early.
Wow.
I'm going to try out the game, and Abu's going to join me and probably watch me die 1,000 times
so
and
awesome.
Make fun of me. I know. It's so amazing. Yep. I'm really looking forward to it. I was telling you right before we went live on FOD, just fingers crossed that the tech works. Man. But we'll see. Either way, I'm playing that game, and you're going to see me play that game. So that's going to be really, really fun. Are you streaming today?
I am.
Baldur's
Gate. I mean, I have had some time as of late where I've just been like sneaking downstairs, putting a few hours in. I am way deeper into the game than I was. From week to week now, I'm like progressing. It is a massive fucking game. I mean, I'm waiting for like a, you are now in act two, and I'm either not in act two or act two happened and I didn't, like, they didn't make a big deal out of it, but I am shocked at the scope of this game. I thought there would be like a very clear transition, like, oh, you are now in the second part of the game, and I'm not, but I'm like four maps in now, and they're massive, massive maps. I went and I explored the whole Underdark by myself, and then I just went to this other section of the Underdark. It's just, it's an amazing, amazing game. Amazing. Baldur's Gate 3. I mean, everybody knows this isn't like a shock game of the year, and deservedly so.
How long are you going to stream this? If you just had to guess, if you just had to throw a guess out there for how many consecutive weeks you're going to stream this.
Well, I think because I'm mainlining it a lot in my free time and streaming 2 hours a week, I think I could wrap this up by the end of March.
Okay.
Yeah, because I want to move on to a new game, but yeah. I do want to beat this.
Okay. So you want to beat this on stream. This is going to be something you're not going to stop until you beat.
I think so. There's other games that I want to play. I want to play Liza P, and I know there's other cool stuff coming out, but like I have to beat this. And I'm also doing like every single quest as well. Not trying to platinum it, but like I'm not leaving any stones unturned. So that's adding time to it. I think if I just mainline the main quest, I could finish in probably 20 hours, but you know me.
Oh, I know you.
I have to uncover every area of the map. I have to do every... I can't leave any dangling quests, but I'm having a great time with it.
Good. I'm glad. All right. So let's talk that... Well, actually, I'm sorry. There's one more thing, which is...
Big news.
Also on Friday.
Ooh!
Also on Friday, we got our live show that we're not Glass Cannon live.
Nope.
We're doing Let's Play Rambo. We're playing Everyday Heroes Rambo. We're not even playing the Rambo Cinematic Adventure. We're playing kind of a prologue, John, that is just a one-shot at a comedy club in New York City on Friday night. We've talked about this on FOD for a couple weeks, but if you've missed it and you're in the New York area, you could still grab a ticket. It's Friday night, 8 o'clock at Stand Up New York. And it should be amazing. It's me and you and Skid and two wonderful comedians, Khalees Hawkins and what's her name? Forgot.
Natalie.
Cuomo. So it's going to be really, I mean, we have no idea what to expect.
I have been, well, you do.
You're not expecting is I have been diving into the Sirenscape because Sirenscape is like kind of part of this too. And I've been like browsing through the sound sets and preparing multiple explosions. I mean, you better have tons of explosions in this thing. Gunfire, so much gunfire. Anyway, I'm really looking forward to
it. I'm excited to go back to the Upper West Side. I lived on the Upper West Side for years. When I moved to New York, I lived there. And so I would walk by.
That's where fancy, snooty people live.
Constantly. I just can't wait to like hang out afterwards in those bars along Amsterdam.
Yes.
But this has been a lot of work, because not only am I learning the everyday, learning like the Rambo game in this particular scenario, we've got to learn Everyday Heroes. Now, you've played a little bit of it, and I haven't, but I've been playing a lot of Baldur's Gate, and I've obviously run some 5e. It's very close to 5e, but like you've got machine guns and stuff. So it's a lot different how armor works, how explosions and grenades work. So I'm like learning the system while learning the prologue. But what I will say is,
can I just jump in for a second
and
just say how cool armor is in Everyday Heroes?
Yeah.
It's really, really cool, because correct me if I'm wrong, but the basic concept, I'm going to nerd out on this for a second. The basic concept is that like armor is there to kind of like in a moment of like life and death, it can like stop a bullet. Like that's kind of what it does. And then once it does that, it's like broken and it doesn't work anymore. Like that's sort of the basic overall concept, because they were like, we can't just have heroes clad in like Kevlar that have like DR to every attack, because it doesn't armor doesn't really work that way in the modern world. Anyway, it was something like that as I was looking through it, and I was like, oh, this is just really cool. It basically, at a moment when you think, because it's meant to be cinematic,
it's when you're about to be, I'm looking at my cheat sheet here, when you're about to be put to or below zero HP,
it saves your life.
If the armor value is equal to or higher than the penetration value, the character can make an armor saving throw, and if you're proficient, you add your bonuses. If the armor is damaged, you get disadvantage on that save. On a successful saving throw, the character takes no damage, but if the penetration value is higher than the armor value, the armor is of no benefit. So it could, like a rocket launcher, it doesn't matter how good your armor.
Right, and if you save against it, it's now damaged.
Yeah.
So you could do it again, but it's at disadvantage. And it's great, because those early hit points, it doesn't factor into the early hit points.
Yeah.
Like the early hit points, you just get chunked down. But then when you're at the end, can your armor save your life? It's really great. As I've been diving more into it and working with the creators of the game on this project, like you can see their vision a little bit better than when you're just reading the book. And their vision is to recreate movies. That's, you know, it's really what it is you're recreating cinematic moments in film using a kind of D20 5e-ish system. So anyway, it's really great design, and I can't wait to play.
And this is what I was going to say, the prologue that we're going to be running is absolutely amazing. It is so wonderfully written and like super immersive. My concern is always like, how do I get this into 2 hours? And like, how do we do this with people we've never played with, who have never picked up a D20? But I mean, that's going to be the fun for the audience, is watching this all unfold. But if I can pull this off, this whole story in 2 hours, it's a phenomenal story. And it makes me want to really dive into more of their products, because they do this for all these big, like Escape from New York you guys did. They've got a bunch of other ones.
They have Total Recall and they have Kong, Skull Island, and a whole bunch of other ones. And it's because they're crafting. I mean, this is why I think it works for us, right? Because what we do is so cinematic in nature. It feeds into that machine really well.
Oh my God, it's so good. Like, I want to replay this another time.
This could be like our warm up.
Now, a lot of people are asking, if you don't live in New York, you can't come see this, can you see it afterwards? We think, but we're not 100% sure.
We think, the last meeting that I had, they have every intention of taping the show. Okay. If it releases, is all going to depend on the quality and if all the equipment works and everything. And it's not a Glass Cannon production, so we have no control over any of that stuff. But their intention is to at least put it on YouTube, from what I understand. So we'll see. We'll see.
It's exciting. And it's going to happen Friday night.
I as much as I'm looking forward to it, I'm also looking forward to it being over, because it is a stressful thing. And it's going to be nice to have that off the plate, so I can just focus on Tales of Kenzera.
Hey, Francis, you coming out to Rambo Friday night?
You know it.
Let's go.
You know it. That's going to be great. CJ's going too. Sydney's supposed to be there, unless she was just blowing smoke up our ass.
Then I'm out.
Well, then I'm out. it's going to be awesome. All right. Let's talk about the Glass Cannon podcast.
All right.
Glass Cannon. Remember this guy? This is still here.
Yeah, be careful with that.
Oh, that's right.
That's not only the prototype, it's the original.
Here's the bird. Oh, he's upside down. There's the bird.
9 o'clock Finch.
There's my 9 o'clock Finch.
So, like, seconds before this, I'm talking to our merch purveyor. Because when I mentioned on the show, we should make a t-shirt of that.
No, seconds before this fodder tape.
This fodder, yeah. I'm talking to our merch guy, and I'm like, can we take this drawing and put it on a t-shirt? Because now that I've heard the fan response, it's enough for me to be like, all right, let's go through with this idea. And long story short, it appears we can pull this off, that exact drawing on a t-shirt.
Is it going to have legal lines on it?
No, we're going to have those removed in Photoshop. So basically, okay. I'm going to make a high-res scan of it. His art team is going to take out the lines, reproduce on a shirt, and I'm hoping to have it for the Toronto show.
Oh, my God. Do you think his art team is going to be like, this is the dumbest project I have ever worked on in my history?
Well, his first question was like, do you want to have our professionals take that horrible drawing and make something nice of it? And I said, no. The shittiness is what makes it awesome.
It is so shitty. Anyway, fun ep, lots of role play as our mystery continues. It reminded me of a Delta Green episode. And I say that what's the word I'm looking for? And I say that as a compliment. Because it's the kind of episode where if I'm handling it as in a Delta Green session, and I look back, I think at the start of that episode, you had a bird map that told you exactly where to go and when to go to move the adventure forward. Mm-hmm. And an hour and a half later, you just got there, and that's all you did.
Yeah.
Nothing else happened. But what happened is the players kind of dug into their characters a little bit. And that is fun to do. And that's what you guys did a lot in Delta Green. So I'd be sitting there, you know, leg shaking, running a Delta Green game, going like, why are they taking so long to just get from here to here as you guys were just, you know, having a beer at the bar and getting into your characters and stuff like that. But sometimes you got to, you know, take a break, stop, pull back, and realize why this stuff is so important. Things like Zephyr's scene, so important to understanding or beginning to understand the character. Actually, that's not the right term. Beginning to understand how much you don't know.
Deepen your understanding.
About the character, right? And then similarly with Talitha speaking with Asta about her secret and her concerns that she might lose control of her own mind.
Yeah.
Very, very cool stuff. So there were a lot of really fun role-playing elements. Is there anything that jumped out to you in particular? I don't want to go too far into the scene because there's the Zephyr scene, because there's actually some listener mail stuff about it that I want to bring up.
Okay.
But what jumps out to you in this episode where, plot-wise, not much moved forward at all, but so much happened? So how do you kind of look at that as a GM?
Yeah, you have to find that balance between letting the game breathe and moving things along. You know, I think that your natural inclination sometimes is like, come on, you know, and I get that. And it's really, there really is a fine line. Sometimes you give the players too much rope and they don't know what to do with it. They just start
hanging
knots.
Themselves.
Yeah. but like you got to find that fine line. And, you know, I think just because we've worked together for so long and we've done the live show in front of a live audience, that makes a huge difference. Like, you can't have lulls. You got to make sure that like what you're doing is important. And I always say, like, if you're about to speak and you think you're leading a conversation somewhere, do you think it's interesting? If not, don't do it. And it just seems to be naturally happening where the characters are opening up. Like, I thought that was really smart of Matthew to like start digging into that. And I told
that
you,
moment.
Like, I said, if you have secrets you want to get out there, don't wait, because you'll end up like Lucky and you don't get to get them out there. So like, start getting them out there. So seeing the players pick up on that and start doing it naturally, it feels right. And it's kind of cool that he confided in Asta and not the people he's known for a couple months.
Yeah.
That reveals something about the character as well. But, you know, don't get lost in like even checking out old Henry Bucket's place. There's stuff there. There's stuff that's being layered in there about what is going on that, again, may seem insignificant now, but will seem a lot more significant later.
Henry Bucket's place is complete nonsense. And I will not hear any argument to the contrary.
You get so
literally
mad.
You said,
well, what's the
there's
pattern?
A pattern. I said, what's the pattern? You said, yeah.
Because the pattern itself isn't important. What's important is that there was a method to the madness.
Great. And we figured that out.
Yeah.
There's nothing more to add to that.
There's nothing more to add to that.
Exactly.
But you get to role play with Abilene a little bit. You get to get
No.
There.
I'm not saying the scene was bad. Yeah. I'm saying you just said like, whoo, man, there was a lot going on in Harry Bucket's place that you're going to look back on and see. No, there isn't.
Well.
It's over.
is there? Why Henry Buckets? Why this like shut-in hoarder? Like,
shut-in hoarder and something important to do with his parents too?
Yeah, something that was like generational.
It was passed down.
Why is that important? Like there's stuff going on there, man.
Yeah, stuff going on.
You know what's nice is like, what was I going to say? Like you can see that Abilene and her team, after Henry Buckets disappears, they go there and they're like, ah, nothing. And
well,
you guys
they're
go.
Not investigators.
They're not investigators. And you see something.
They didn't roll a natural 20 like Kate did on their
school in the
perception
Alder
checks.
Woman.
School in the Alder Woman. I want to go back to Talitha's Secret for a second. I want to bring up a general game concept that groups, I think, you know, we've talked about this loosely before, but I want to bring it up again. Which
bring it
is,
up!
So Matthew has this little scene, yep, right? And he has it in front of all of us as players. So now we all know this secret that he did not mention to us. I mean, maybe he told other people. He didn't tell me. Like that his character had this secret past, the secret history, mm-hmm, the secret ancestry, all this stuff. And that as a character, worried about losing control. Reveals this to another character. I think that that's a big deal for Matthew, right? To like bring this into the show, put it out there, and get that sort of ball rolling on that subplot, right? That narrative plot.
Yeah.
My question is, as another player in that game, is the ball in our court at all to bring it up again, to help him flesh that story out? Or, since he didn't tell any of our characters, are we supposed to just sit here and ignore it until he brings it up, until he chooses to bring it up again? The reason I ask is maybe he wants somebody to bring it up because he doesn't want to constantly be shoehorning it in himself about his own character. I don't know. What do you think?
I think, no, it's not your place to do it. Like, you got to kind of follow his cues. If he wanted somebody else to bring it up, I think he would role play more like, oh, you're having a conversation with Talitha and you notice that she's kind of pulling back as you're asking those questions. If he's having that scene with Brother Ramius, now he's prompting Brother Ramius to start prying.
To ask.
But like where you weren't a part of that conversation, there's really been no other indication, that this is going on. There's no real reason for you to do that. You'd be metagaming that role play. Now, there was a point when you first met Abilina, when Abilina's like, and I see something in you too, but I think you'd prefer that I didn't say.
Mm-hmm.
And she stands there stone faced. So I'm deciding to kind of maybe do what I want and go against Matthew because I think it's going to be interesting, the story. Because now everyone at the table is like, well, what's that all about? And you can decide if you want to question him or not. But the way Matthew's playing is like, wait until he gives you the cue. It's kind of like a little thing that Matthew and I can decide what we want to do with that, with like either discussing it with each other or not. Like when I had Abilina do that, I didn't ask Matthew to do that, but that's why I kept it super open-ended. It's like, I think you'd think I'd rather not say. Now you know there's a secret out there, and it's up to you guys if you want to pry or if you want to.
Great. That's what I'll do next episode.
Go for it.
That we get together. Remember when Abilina said this?
Something's been on my mind.
Something's been on my mind ever since FOD. ever since the FOD.
But then he could be like, oh, I don't know. She's weird. Fuck that. Fuck that lady.
We should kill her.
Are you trying to say we should kill her?
You know what, Talitha? I think you're right.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, it's. I think in due time, it's going
to. The question is like, are people throwing out a bone to other, you know, to the other players to get interest in their character? I don't know. Yeah, you got to kind of read it, I guess.
Yeah.
But I feel like, you know, it's something that needs to be explored. It can't just be mentioned once and then thrown in a drawer for 15 episodes.
Yeah.
It's going to die as a subplot, you know?
I agree. Might need a little flashback.
Might need a little. Speaking of flashback, let's get into listener mail. Let's do it. Oh my God, was that not the real song?
Nope, that
was your
me.
Voice?
It's time for listener mail. You gotta get your pronouns on it. Time for listener mail.
Thank you, Nicholas of the Low Clan. All right, we're gonna do a bunch of listener mail today. I'm excited.
Okay.
Let's start with Brian from Japan. Brian from Japan, good way to start a listener mail question. It grabs my attention because right out of the gate, first line, pee breaks? Question mark. Its own line. I'm like, well, this grabs my attention.
Now you have my attention.
Now that the podcast is breaking for sponsors anyways, has there been any thought or discussion about adding an intermission to live shows. In some of the shows that go along, there have been comments about Troy having to turn his chair around, and it makes me worry for his health and hygiene. Also, having worked in a live house, the bartenders and waitstaff might appreciate the swell at the bar that comes during an intermission. Anyway, it's an interesting question. Have we ever discussed doing an intermission of the live show?
I don't think the show is long enough to merit an intermission.
2.5 hours?
Yeah, I just feel
you know,
like
that's longer than any act of any Broadway show besides maybe that one in Oklahoma.
But how long is a Broadway show?
August Osage County.
Broadway show is close to 3 hours, though, right?
Yeah, so it's hour and a half break. Hour and a half-ish. Yeah. Nobody goes 2.5 hours without an intermission.
So I think we could only do it if we extend the show 3 hours. But they don't want us to do that. We get a lot more done. Yeah, I feel like we're in that. It used to be a two-hour show that would sometimes be 2.5. You know, sometimes we go long. Lately, we've been off. We went long a lot in 2023. I just feel like it would ruin the flow.
I think it would be great.
It's just because you have a tiny.
No, but think about it. You get to have a mid-show Cliffy. Everybody loves a mid-show Cliffy.
It's hard enough coming up at the end of the show, Cliffy.
Think about how many people in that audience also are dying to pee and are not paying attention to the show. Because they're like,
Clear your bladder, man.
Anyway, it's an interesting concept. Yeah. I wouldn't toss it away without thinking about it. I think everybody
right
could use a fun break.
After we pee.
It's a kind of a weird thing. But then, yeah, you bring up the house music. It's an intermission. Bring up the house lights. Everybody buys a drink.
And then you come back and do a half an hour of show.
An exciting half an hour.
Because the venues want us to fuck off the stage. Now, then again, I do think that they would go buy drinks. People would be like, well, let's go. Let's fill up, get some drinks. So you'd get a little more.
Start earlier.
Yeah, we could start at 7 o'clock.
Start. A 7 o'clock. We start at 7.
Yeah, but now that means we're showing up to the fucking venue.
We break at 8:30, come back at 8:45, show's over at 10, an hour and 15 minutes, second half. I don't know.
I'll take it under consideration.
I'll tell you what, Brian from Japan, I love the idea. Thanks for writing in. Good friend of the show, Jen with two N's from Boston.
Old Jen.
I love that we are kicking off the new year with more hours of video game streaming.
Yup.
It is a great time to interact with you all and the niche. I'm curious, though, at the switch from gaming in the employee lounge to the main Twitch channel. Can you shed any more light on that?
Yes.
Or any light at all, I guess.
Yeah. Well, one of the things we're doing this year is, you know, pushing a lot of our tabletop content, our pre-recorded tabletop content to YouTube. We've seen faster growth on that channel. And that's one of the main reasons, or the main reason, that Gatewalkers premiered there. And so this year, you know, you can expect Get in the Trunk to be on YouTube as well. But we want to make sure that we maintain a strong Twitch presence and kind of get back to using Twitch for what it's meant for, which is live interaction. And so right out of the gate, before we're able to launch some other projects later this year on Twitch, we thought, like, let's just keep shit going by having you and I play video games. And then this week alone, already doing this experiment by having Abu come on. You know, I think you're going to see a lot more of that as well. And, you know, it kind of leaves the employee lounge as a place for experimentation. It lets us kind of fuck around with games that might not be ready for prime time. It lets us do different things that are outside of our normal purview with Degenerate Dungeon. So that's still our kind of experimental space for stuff that can eventually come to Twitch. But I think you can expect a lot more fun live stuff on Twitch over the year.
Yeah, I think.
Besides just video games.
Well, I don't think I know. There was a time where a decision was made to move, to keep Twitch just tabletop.
Yeah.
So that it wasn't video gaming, because video gaming is not the main thing that we do by a long shot. It's also not, we're not particularly good at it.
Dude, that Twitch channel started with me playing Dark Souls and you coming over with just a microphone on the table, no video besides Dark Souls for 11 people. That was the origin of our main Twitch channel.
Yep, that's how it started. And that's why we still get financial updates for that channel to a email address that we basically can't use. It's super frustrating. But it was open so long ago.
Yeah.
We decided to keep that to tabletop and keep it a focused tabletop channel. And then this employee lounge would be fuck around, and that includes video games. Well, the big transition, Jen, to answer your question is, let's focus on Twitch as a live experience as opposed to Twitch as a pre-recorded area. And who cares if it's tabletop or not? Labs, great.
Yeah.
Video games, great. Even some other ideas and concepts like Troy's talking about that we're hoping will come later this year. it's things that where live interaction is key, so that we can hang out with the chat. So that's really the main impetus behind putting video games back on, is just because we can interact with you guys live and we missed it.
You know what I'd like to do is another Strange Aeons marathon.
Yes, I want to do that very
live.
Much.
Yeah.
It's
kind of checks a lot of boxes. One being like,
we talked about this not that long ago. Yeah.
And two, it's always been amazing.
It's always been wonderful. Fun.
Yeah.
And now you're adding Kate into the mix, who I don't think has ever done a marathon, a Strange Aeons marathon live. So, I mean, and it would be great. It would be fantastic. So, keep an eye out for that coming down. Coming up the horizon soon. All right, well, soon. Then I always get us in a jam with that word. And then they're like, soon? What is it, next week? Sorry.
How does it come up the horizon, too?
I don't know, man.
It's a weird.
This show is this show live? Jason from Seattle writes in. Not just any Jason from Seattle, Troy. Hi. Really enjoying the campaign so far, and I can't wait to see how the group reacts to some of the weird stuff I wrote in book two.
What?
Jason Keeley from Seattle writes in.
Friend of the show?
To listener mail. Jason Keeley,
get
what's
out of
up?
Here.
I just watched the episode that introduces Asta, and I was wondering if there was any discussion of bringing Lucky back as a spirit using the ghost archetype in the Book of the Dead. I think it would fit themes in the adventure path, but I can also see how that kind of thing isn't for every group. Keep up the good work. Thank you, Jason.
Keeley, son of a gun. I had no idea.
Really appreciate it. We actually had another question like this a couple weeks ago that wasn't directly about this situation, but asked in general about bringing characters back. And I think we even mentioned in passing.
I think I said, I think the Book of the Dead
has a ghost archetype. Yeah.
That's really cool.
So yeah, that is really cool. I think it's a really interesting idea. I know Troy's not going to discuss it at all because it's a possible spoiler.
I mean, listen. That it exists. It's cool to know. It's like anything else, like finding the right balance between like letting the gravitas of death happen and ruining that by being like, next week they're back, you know, but maybe they could come back later.
Yeah. And I feel like that is an interesting, I feel like it's a really interesting idea in this particular situation because of how early Lucky went out.
Yeah.
It really feels like a character where so much is left undone and unsaid that it could that the character could benefit from a reappearance at some point. I mean, we talk in this episode about the potential that it is Lucky that left the bird. You know, and it's a really cool concept. Like, why not? Why couldn't it be?
A message.
She's a cat.
Yeah.
She loves Maul and birds. And meanwhile, why not send this message that leads you to a place you could not get on your own because you couldn't decipher these other clues. So anyway, it's a neat concept. Jason, thank you for writing in. And we really appreciate it.
Never say never.
Never say never. All right, let's move on to Tristan from Topeka. And actually, I think I'm going to combine this. Yeah, this is going to be
Topeka.
It's Topeka. Is it Topeka?
I believe it's Topeka.
Topeka.
That's how it's pronounced.
Tristan from Topeka writes in after listening to the FOD about Troy getting back into the groove and slapping his nuts on the table after his break from Giant Slayer. I really love listening to the scenes that he would build, and I have begun writing them for my home games to immerse players. What I am mainly curious of is how Troy picks the moments to present these character scenes and how he decides what to reveal from a character's backstory. So obviously we have, you know, this situation comes up in this episode. Also, Matt M. writes in, same sort of question this week. He says, I'm GMing a campaign that's been going on for a few years. We actually have one session a month and then do some role playing. I do vignettes individually with players over Discord in between. So I've started asking the players, but I want to bring this to the main group. So I've started asking players to write vignettes that we can act out of the table, a la Glass Cannon. So Troy, how do you get your players to write these, and how do you find the right time to bring them in? And then for Joe, how do you go about writing them? And for both, what is the collaboration process like? Matt from DC. So yeah, Matt, thank you for writing in. And also, what was the other one? Tristan from Topeka. Thank you for writing in. Similar questions, but yeah, it comes up this week because we have a really juicy backstory scene this week.
Yeah, this is something that has really evolved over time that began with our pre-GCP, pre-GCN Jade Region campaign. As I started to feel more comfortable with GMing, because that was the first time I ever GMed, I, you know, right around book three or so, I started introducing these backstories where I really wouldn't, I wouldn't talk to you guys too much. I would just like write these scenes and play them out in a session. And that kind of carried over to Giant Slayer once I felt comfortable with where we were at, bringing that in. And sometimes I would consult with you guys. Sometimes I wouldn't. I would just start writing these things and planting them in and then being like, all right, well, now you're going to deal with this fact about your character. And that doesn't work for every table. You know, I was very lucky to have players that just trust me to kind of run with it. But as we develop more products and more shows, it was important to me to get feedback from you guys as well, because I wanted you to really drive the narrative of your character. And then allow me to put the roadblocks in and the obstacles that could change what your original concept was to make it more cinematic. So I would have you guys just either write out shit or just send ideas that I would write. And either way, like, I then reframe them. I reframe them based around my idea of the narrative and also where I want to take the story. And then I'll say it aloud to see like what's going to sound good on radio. And then when we do it, I try to not look at it too much so that we're really off the cuff, but we have an idea, kind of like a wrestling match. You have an idea of what the outcome is. You know, we're not 100% sure how you're going to get there. And that's just the way it's developed over time, is like you write something and then I'll rework it for the show.
And speaking from my chair, I tend to, I kind of have to wait. And sometimes you ask for them for the scenes. And sometimes you just ask for any scene. Sometimes you ask for a scene that does this. Mm-hmm. And in either case, I generally can't, like, I have that writer's block thing where, like, I can't write a scene unless, like, I have a very clear inspiration for what the scene is. Like, if I'm just forced to write a scene, I can never really get it done. And so sometimes I'll go long periods without them. But when I do, when I have written them in the past, it's been my experience that you don't really change much at all. It's like, you know, the small little things.
You're a very good writer.
But like, thank you.
Other people need a lot of
But it's mostly, I mean, let's take Kate's scene, for example. So talk me through how this developed. Did you go to her and say, I'd like a scene? No, you went to all of us and said, hey, get me some stuff, you know, in the coming weeks. And I still didn't get it to you for more than a month because I just didn't have the idea. Kate got this scene to you when? Ballpark.
Well, you know, going back like pre-Gatewalkers, I was like, I want everybody to give me your a pre-show moment that is going to be like episode one. Mm-hmm. And same thing we did for Androids and Aliens. And I reworked those to make them, you know, fit Gatewalkers and whatnot. And we did that. But then like right before the holidays, I was like back on tour next year and Gatewalkers were now like in the thick of it. If you guys want to do that work, write those scenes and I'll work them in. And then I just kind of leave it out there. And Kate sent me this. She's like, I've got an idea for a scene. So kind of reworked it a little bit with her. And then,
well, where was it when she gave it to you?
Where was it?
Yeah. Like was she
came to my house.
Is she, no, I'm saying like she had, where was it in terms of, you know, what was built? Was it the scene was her and a boy that she liked and that, you know, the interaction and him sort of, displaying some sort of racist kind of ideology that's kind of passed on from his parents and this kind of breaking her heart. Like, it's a very heartbreaking scene. Was that framework all there when Kate sent it to you?
I'm looking right now at my – so October 26th, I reached out to you guys. I was like, just wanted to throw this
out. Was it October 26th?
October 26th, and I've only received one. Okay. It is a rolling task. If you ever want to work with me on some flashbacks, let me know. We did an indie and episode one of Gatewalkers, but down to do more. Great, great way to get people's stories out there and introduce secrets and NPCs from your past. Sydney, we should get popping on something for your new character soon. And then a month to the day later, Kate sent me.
Oh, wow. So you've had that since November.
Yeah. And we recorded that.
Was that recorded in December?
I guess we recorded it. Yeah.
So you just had it for like a couple weeks before you.
Yeah. And like I had it there. While we did like two recordings, I think, and I just didn't have the right place to introduce it. I thought it wanted to come at the beginning of an episode and it didn't work for the beginnings of the last few episodes. But this one, I was like, oh, this is perfect. You're in the room. She can notice something. I was like, maybe she'll notice something out the window. And we just kind of went into it. But I'd been sitting on that for a few weeks. She was like, I might have cried while writing this. So beware. It's really sad.
It is so sad. But that basic framework was all there when she sent it to you. So this is like all from Kate, this idea of her character. That's very cool.
Yeah.
And I did send you something, by the way. You said she was the only one who sent you something.
You did. I deleted it.
Exactly.
Without reading it.
Went to spam. I deleted it without reading it. Oh man, amazing. Yeah, so that to me, and then you know, that combination of Zephyr getting that scene out there, it definitely kicked me, you know, in the ass to like get something out there because I loved it so much. It's like, this is so great, and I feel like it's important for all of us to do it.
It's hard because it's like, you're the character we probably need to know least about. We need to know about these other characters. You're very good at like bringing out character discoveries in role play naturally. I'm not saying that other people aren't, but like that's your bread and butter. You kind of see that. And it's probably from running a lot of Delta Green. You're just doing it naturally. We need to hear from other people. So that's like when Zephyr came, I was like, let's go. Let's get a Zephyr story out there where we're aching for it. We need Nasta. It's good to see Matthew bring it up naturally.
Yeah.
But I'd still love to see another Talitha scene. There's a lot of secrets there. And then Buggles too. You know, I want to see that. It's not to say we don't need Aramius, but we know Aramius right now. We feel pretty good about him.
Oh, you don't know Aramius.
The old stoner uncle.
Oh, there's a lot to learn there, buddy. You don't become a stoner uncle overnight.
That's true.
A lot of complications that go into it. That's all I have for this one. I think that next week we're going to we're talk a little bit about how important this character development stuff is. And hopefully everybody kind of gets more into the groove of getting it out there because it just raises the stakes for all the characters. And when you do that, it makes interactions between them more clear and it makes the improv tighter, but then it also makes the combats more important. It gives them higher stakes when you care more about the characters and how you're going to care about them if you don't know anything about them. So that's why these little elements are important. And yeah, I agree. I'd love to hear more from Buggles and hear more from Asta. Like, what strange and interesting characters? Like, what is going on in their past? So hopefully we can get some of those scenes in too. Let us know in the comments if you'd like to see more scenes from Buggles and Asta. And we'll put Skid down in front of the computer and make him read these comments.
Look at these comments.
Maybe that'll give him the kick in the ass he needs to get you to, you know, he's going to write something phenomenal. So, I'd love to see that happen. That's going to wrap it up for me, buddy. That's it. I'm done.
Good thoughts. Good. I'm glad we're doing this.
I'm glad we're doing it too. It's great being in studio. We're also getting other work done too, which is great. It's very productive and it's great to hang out with CJ and Francis. Once again, thank you, CJ Francis, on the production end of things. And thank you all for watching and for listening and for leaving the comments on YouTube. Write your comments here. I'd love to bring more up next week. Thank you guys so much for hanging out. Check out The Marvel Show. Go over to Marvel's channel and check it out. And come see us live at Stand Up New York on Friday night. That's it.
Rambo.
Later. We're out of here. Bye.
It's time to make your membership official. Become an official member of The Naish today at jointhenaish.com. That's jointhenaish.com, where you'll get access to exclusive podcasts and live streams you can't find anywhere else. See what everybody's talking about and join The Naish today at jointhenaish.com.